and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 342.
Woo!
Hello.
My name is Christopher Hugh, and I am here with Jeff Chorney.
What up?
And Travis Baum.
Hey!
And so apparently we decided within the past day...
Fuck it.
That we were going to start doing
weekly
again. Literally
not even 24 hours ago.
It's pretty much been that long. So here we are, doing another show, and we're going to try and... We're not going to do our feature today, though, because this is kind of like a... This is a little sudden for everyone. So,
yeah.
We're going to do the feature next week. So you guys still have time to get in your emails. Got a couple already. So thanks to those who have already emailed in. But we're going to do a shorter show today. We'll do distractions. Then we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do a little news, new releases, and then we'll wrap up and get out of here. So, before we do that, let us see what is up. Travis, what's up?
Not much, man. The energy is high. The audio quality is low. I am ready to do this. Yeah, my
the internet connection is shitty.
That's on your end, though.
That's on my end.
We're talking about me right now.
oh, my bad. Sorry.
So the I'm a little depressed, and especially because of the fact that I need my mixer for Tuesday for work, since I have one of those awesome little big boy jobs now. But my one of the teeth on the power part that goes into the mixer. Of the power cord, just like fell off. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think we kind of hit it in the, using podcast post-production magic. Good job, Chris. But I was having like some serious,
I didn't get all of it. I got most of it. I didn't get
most
all of it.
Though. But I had some serious microphone issues. I kept, there was like a lot of static, kept on cutting in and out. And, I think that was it. I think my power cord was shorting out a little
bit.
But now it is, it's not working whatsoever. So I went ahead and ordered it. It happened to be, half off on Amazon Prime. Thank you, Amazon. Appreciate it. Checks in the mail. And I am, getting that. Hopefully I did the $4 extra one day shipping. I need it by Tuesday. It's saying it's going to be here now by Monday. If it's not, I'm going to be pissed and in trouble. So, let's make sure that's,
you can't
that's,
beat like next day for $4, man. Amazon
you
Prime
know, it's,
is.
It's not bad.
Amazon Prime is well worth the money, I think.
For sure. For sure. But other than that, man, staying busy. Had a big photo shoot. It was an exciting photo shoot. We usually do our videos on we always do our videos on DSLRs. It's really what's kind of, you know, stepping up. I mean, you would be surprised, you know, 10 years ago, SLRs were mainly for taking the highest quality photos, kind of like your, you know, your National Geographic guys are going to have like the really awesome lenses with the top of the line SLRs. But, you know, nowadays, I mean, even now, Hollywood motion pictures are really focusing on, using more compact forms, especially like, you know, when they're in a vehicle and they're trying to film something in that kind of, you know, tight venue, you know, SLRs are really taking over, you know, movies like Drive, Dear John. I mean, they're just using this new hardware instead of, you know, spending $50,000 on this awesome, you know, really, really good camera equipment. So, you know, and that's what we use. We're using these SLR, but the SLR that we use on the reg is this kind of a, Nikon that's better for pictures than video. So we've been making do. But we found a local, camera rental company that it was renting my camera of, the one that I've been wanting for us to, like, begging my bosses to buy is the, Panasonic GH4. And I'm not going to go into details. It is one of the most badass DSLRs
Thank God.
Ever released on the market. And I got to play with it for the first time, yesterday. And I think the only person who could ever appreciate this conversation is not on the podcast. I wish Jason was here.
That is correct.
Because, man, we would be able to, we would have the GH4 podcast, special in this episode just on this topic right here. It's such an amazing camera. And I got to use it for the first time yesterday on this all day, 8 hour shoot at, this crazy, fabricating factory, and it was just the most, I wouldn't say boring shoot. I think I feel safe saying that since I'm pretty sure these guys don't listen to the podcast. But, you know,
you
any
know.
Other day, this would be one of the most boring shoots in the world. You know, it's this place that, you know, develops, fabricates metals, and it's the most uninteresting thing in the world. But
yeah, it's kind of like talking about cameras for 10 minutes.
But it was cool.
On a video game
I was
podcast.
Excited. I'm fired up, motherfucker! No, but it was,
Jeff, I'm glad we're on the same page, brother.
No, it was cool.
Love you, Travis.
I was super, super excited about it, and it made what would have usually been a boring photo shoot super exciting because it was the first time using this cool
so
piece
sexy.
Of technology. It was the super sexiest thing. I'm sorry. I was walking around in this factory with a boner all day. Couldn't hide it. And I was wearing my tight jeans too. So it was kind of embarrassing. So, but yeah, that was the big thing that happened all week. And now the fun process of editing 4K video on a computer that is not fit to edit 4K video. I discovered that today that I'm in for a fucking treat. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to edit 4K video, you better have like a beast.
It's going to be troubling. So that's an issue for next week. I'll keep the podcast up to date on that story. I know Jeff's excited about this epic tale.
Fucking edge of my seat, man. I want to see how it ends.
Real quick, guys, let's pop this in here. It's been a long time. Indus Bar. What's happening? We drinking anything?
Yeah, I got a little bit of the something. Just vodka and Gatorade Zero.
Okay. I digs. Yeah, Chris, you sipping on a little scissor? What you got?
I am. Ew. I have a what? Scissor. Mike's Hard Lemonade right now.
What?
Sorry, yes, Chris will come on the podcast?
Oh. Yes. No, so we often have some friends over for dinner and like game night or something like that.
Well, your friends drink terrible alcohol. So.
It's not terrible. It's just not what I usually drink, but that's what they enjoy. So I usually get like a 12-pack variety pack of that, and you know, they drink that, and I'll just have the leftovers.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I have no problem with mice. I don't care.
Aside from the fact that only variety you're going to get is a variety of different types of diarrhea after you drink it.
And diabetes,
yeah.
I'm not sure what you guys are drinking, so.
Dude, Mike's Hard Lemonade gives me the massive runs every single time I drink it. I don't know what it is.
That's a little TMI, buddy. That's fine.
I'm just telling you how it is. It's what happens. It's a stone cold fact. Well, our listeners deserve facts. All right, not bullshit conjecture.
Now, this is,
facts.
Compared to the last conversation we just had, this is 3,000% more interesting. Yes.
So apparently I need to start talking about my poos more on my
listeners, what do you think? Do you want to hear about cameras or shit?
Cameras and poos. I'm drinking, a buddy of mine from work gifted me and this is probably a horrible idea, but gifted me a full bottle of moonshine. Like really, really, like 170, 180 proof moonshine.
Jesus.
I told you guys in the email thread this morning.
That sounds like a horrible idea to me.
As we were planning the show.
Sounds pretty bad.
It's straight from the toilet water, so you know it's really good. No, it's, well, the problem was I thought that I had something to mix it with. I thought I had Gatorade, didn't have that. I thought I had a soda, didn't have that. Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, anything.
Straight?
I didn't have anything. I didn't even have fucking clean glasses. I didn't have
a cup. Even cut it with water or something, man.
On the rocks, man. This may be the worst idea.
We're not going to have a fucking second part of this show, guys. So.
I thought about
I know,
cutting
right?
it.
It's like the second part of the show is going to be Jeff and I going, Travis?
Yeah.
Travis. Okay, Jeff, we better call. Let's call our wife. We need to get an ambulance over to his house right now.
Yeah. So yeah, this could
like,
be.
Don't
I thought
interrupt
about
me playing my Diablos.
I thought about cutting it with a little bit of wine, but I thought that could have been a worse
idea.
That's
way worse, dude.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to do that. So
moon wine?
Just
that's
a little
not good.
Bit here. I may, part two, jump on to a little bit of wine afterwards. But I don't think I'm going to be drinking too much of this because every time I take a sip in the middle of you guys talking, you're just going to hear because it's so strong.
It's
insane how strong this is. So I need something to cut it with for sure. So, but yeah, that's Indus Bar for me. Jeffrey.
Sweet fuck all happened. We had a kind of relaxing weekend last weekend. We did have plans. Tanya kind of got sick. So we ended up just chilling and watched movies. I watched Edge of Tomorrow, which is amazing. I love
I heard
that
it's
movie.
Great.
I thought it was really, really good.
But not just because of the story itself. I heard that Tom Cruise is legit.
He sells
in that.
It. He sells it. It's good. He does a good job. And I like Tom Cruise. I've never not liked him. So I'm like, hey, he did all right. And then I watched Days of Futures Past, the newest X-Men movie.
It's not bad.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was
that's
good
a,
too.
That's, it's
not
good.
Bad.
I really liked it. I thought they did some really cool stuff with that storyline. And
it's definitely better than some of the previous entries into the X-Men series.
Well, better than that, and also it's important to note that they retcon all the shitty stuff from the past X-Men
movies. Oh, they really
movies.
Do. That's
they
really funny,
everything
actually.
That's, everything that's good in the X-Men movies, they kept. Everything that was bad, they managed to retcon. Like, it was great, yeah.
So the entire third movie, gone.
Gone.
Pretty much. They basically wiped out of existence. Yeah. But they did some cool shit in that movie, and I really, really liked it. There's some good scenes. That Quicksilver scene was fucking amazing.
He made the movie.
So good.
Yeah. He had the what I like to call the Nightcrawler moment.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah. I know exactly where you're going with that, and he totally had that. Because I'm like, who the f- Quicksilver? No one cares. And then when I saw him, I'm like, that's fucking cool. They did that really well.
He's actually a pretty competent actor. He always plays a great role in almost every season of American Horror Story.
Yes, yes.
I don't know his name. I know he's listening. I apologize for forgetting your name. But he's amazing.
In the first
season,
he plays the friend of the daughter.
Yeah, and he's great in every season of AHS that he's in. He's also a great actor.
I'm pretty sure he's in Kick-Ass as well, I think. No, he's not. Is he? Yes, I think he is. I think he is in Kick-Ass. Both of them.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure. Anyway, they're both good movies. Yeah, we pretty much just lounged it out. I completed all my Christmas shopping in 48 hours without stepping foot in a mall. And I love that. This is like now three consecutive years.
Do everything
online shop. Oh, hell
yeah. Amazon that bitch.
It is the shit, man.
That's what we did.
Tanya went to the mall today. She's like, I went in there for 10 minutes. Like, fuck this. I'm leaving. I'm too stressed out. I'm like, don't just do it online. She's like, it's too late now. I'm like, nope. Everyone knows that they need to get their shit there before December 24th. So
what did you get me and Chris?
I got you guys the same thing I got you last year, but only better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing like better, nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's it, man. That's work's been work, and yeah. This weekend, we have a kind of like a Christmas party thing to go to, friends are having. So it should be pretty fun, pretty chill. And that's it. And go All Raptors. Right. Still in first place. What?
Raptors are still.
They have lost a lot more though, right?
They've lost, I think, 3 games since last time we spoke. Horrible. So they're 16-6 right now.
Piss poor.
It's not bad. Yeah. Piss terrible. Poor. Terrible. Chris.
So disappointing. Not a lot going on. Work is work, like you guys said. Home is home. And that's pretty much it. I got some plans this weekend with the kids. And that's, you know, nothing too, so Christmassy plans. We have Christmassy plans this weekend for the kids. And, this week we had another deployment for the application that I'm working on, projects that I'm on. So that was kind of exciting. But,
You're still doing the car dealership. Not a dealership, but you're still working for an automotive company.
Yeah, I'm still
right?
a GM.
GM?
Still,
nice.
Yeah,
you still, you dig it? I know it's not processing like credit card programs. I know it's not as sexy as that, but I mean, you dig it though? It's been a while since we talked about this, at least you and I.
I very much like my job more than I did my previous job. That is for sure.
Good. That's good. I'm proud of you.
Yup. But let's talk about some games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we got? Jeff, you go first.
Yeah.
I got nothing new. I got, I played some more Titanfall, played some more Far Cry, played some more Call of Duty. Oh, I played, Guilty Gear Xrd demo. I think I didn't talk about that last week, but I played it before last week we recorded. Cause now the demo is cut off. Apparently it was a time demo, which is really weird.
That was weird.
You can play this for a certain amount of hours time, more like, this demo is only good for till this date. And that's really strange, but.
We call that a single player beta.
Yeah.
There's a window. You gotta get in or you're out.
That game looks really good for a fighting game. It's gorgeous. But it's an anime fighter and I can't, ain't no one got time for that anymore. All this shit. They have like a tutorial that looked like it was gonna take 3 days to do. And I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
So all of those XSEED type games, like the tutorials are more overwhelming. The arc system. Yeah, those are the ones that are way, like the tutorials are more imposing mentally, at least for me, mentally imposing than just jumping in and playing a game and like trying to figure out on my own.
They're nuts. They're really detailed, but it's a lot. And there's a lot of things to remember. And I was like, you know what? I'm, based on the people I know that would probably play this online, I'm probably not going to buy it to invest it. Like normally I'd be like, buy every fighting game that came out. But I think I learned my lesson after getting BlazBlue and then Persona 4 Arena that, like, I'm with Jason. Like, anime fighters are just over my head. There's too much shit to remember.
Yeah.
No, they're not very, no, I don't. You have to remember so much shit and matchups deal mean so much. It's crazy. It's, you have to know everything about inside out about that game to be at all competitive. Playing with people that don't know what the fuck they're doing, probably fun as shit. Like any fighter is, but the second one of your friends actually starts to get good at it and you're like, fuck you. And then you just never play the game anymore. So.
Very true.
But, it's pretty. I beat Game of Thrones episode one. And,
it's a Game of Thrones game.
It's definitely Game of Thrones.
It's Game of Thrones, for sure.
I can't wait for episode two. Which, we talked about it last week a bit. I played through the rest of it in one sitting. I played through the whole episode in one sitting.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Yeah. That's all you can say. It's good, and it's Game of Thrones.
It's good. It's Game of Thrones, and I'm not going to say anything else. And
that's all you can say.
As much as people want to complain about the visual style, whatever, I have no problem with it. It looks weird, like we talked about last week with the backgrounds versus the characters, but it's a Telltale game. And what drives those games are the story and the characters, and I think I really like the three characters that you use in the first episode. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, this game, the end of the first episode really, cause they give you a hint at who else in House Forrester that you're gonna be or should be playing as in future episodes. And I'm really, really excited to play as these other characters/characters. Like
I think they said there's gonna be at least five playable characters and you play three in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at least two more playable characters. If you like Game of Thrones, play the game.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
The ending was, And then they make a lot of cool references to stuff that happened in the show because it happens concurrently. And yeah, it's really good. It's pretty awesome. I liked it. I will buy the season pass for that, for sure. Last week, I was like, I'll play through it and decide this. No, I'm definitely buying the season pass for it.
I like how they do the season pass. Right, like, if you pick up the season pass for, like, Assassin's Creed, you buy one DLC, there's no point in getting the season pass.
No, because you
basically lost money. You lose a discount, yeah. But I like how Telltale has it to where, you know, in the past, with, like, the first Walking Dead game, I don't think they did it this way, but after Season 1 Walking Dead, they changed it around. You have to buy the first $5 regardless. Like, that's your entry price into it, and if you like it, you season pass it, and then you still save $5 that way. So I like that business model. I think they should roll with it, because it's good to know that you don't have to put down a full $20-$25 on a whim, just in case. Like, there's always a chance you may not dig it. So that's cool that you just put down the $5. It's almost basically you're pre-ordering a chance to play the game, and I know that doesn't sound all too attractive when I word it that way, which is probably the wrong way to explain it, but it's a $5 is nothing when you at least get a chance to try a game out, I guess.
But the season pass is what, $15?
$15, so $15, and then you save basically $5 on the
episode.
Yeah.
I think the Game of Thrones one might be $20. I think that's six
you get
episodes.
The extra episode. So yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
But, definitely going to do that up because, it was really good.
Faux show.
Other than that, just some regular shit here and there that just, in between shit because nothing's really new. I'm tempted to buy some new stuff, but I'm waiting for Christmas. So that's it for me. T-Rat.
Good idea.
The only thing I played this week was, Destiny, A Dark Below.
That did come out.
I don't have too much to talk about. I'm still absorbing what I think about it. Me and, Omer Slugga on PSN, were discussing it via Facebook message, and we both agree that this actually kind of feels like some of the content that was on that Reddit post, way back, maybe like a month or two ago, that they discussed that, there was a lot of stuff that was supposed to be at release, and it just feels like stuff that should have been there. No, it does. It really, really does.
No. I know it does. I got this exact same conversation with Omer before it was released, regarding that Reddit thing, and he was basically sticking up for it, being like, "Yeah, it's probably not going to be like that. It could be placeholder stuff."
Yeah, when you hear an MMO come out and you hear the word expansion.
You expect expansion.
You expect an expanded universe, and this doesn't do that.
This is just typical DLC.
This is
it's
DLC.
Like three or four story missions, and
it almost feels like busy work you have to do just to get into the strike, to get to the other comp. Yeah, so it's not fantastic.
It won't let you do the strike till you're done the three story missions, I guess.
The three story missions.
Three missions first.
Okay. Plus, you have to do extra kind of like patrolling the other, you know, planets and doing some extra missions for those just to unlock the strike. They're not boring whatsoever. I think the story missions are built together better than what the other story missions in Destiny were. Like, there's not a single moment in the new story missions where you have to release your ghost to, you know, unlock a door and then fight off waves of enemies. That's not a single time does that happen, which is
good. Yeah, the encounters, the encounters for all the missions are better. That's for sure.
A lot better. So the story missions are built together. The new strikes are hard as shit. There's a legit challenge. Like, if you have people who are just not working together, like in the strikes, you can have a unfocused group and still
beat it.
Yeah,
you can get overpowered and just go run through it.
But in the two new strikes, especially the main one for the Dark Below that focuses on the Hive enemy, you really have to be on point because they're throwing a boss and a whole bunch of guys strategically at you in a very, very small space. So you really have to be on that voice chat and working with people or you're going to have a rough time. But I think it's a good thing. Like, the game needed more challenge. When you have a game that, you know, Jeff, I will back you up. It can get monotonous at times, even though I do like the game and I'll defend it to my death. And you know, as much as I like it, it does get monotonous sometimes. Like, oh, I got to run the Nexus Strike again. Oh, I got to run this again. Mm-hmm. You know, it does get like grind. That. And that's normal. But I think this will stay fresh for a while because you know when you go into it, you're going to be into a challenge. So that's good. I want more hard stuff. The reason that Vault of Glass stays so fresh with me is because it is a challenge. You know, we took Chris in. We're like, Chris, 45 minutes. We're in. We're out. It took us an hour and a half because, well, there was an unexpected challenge we were not, you know, looking forward to, and it happened. So that kept it fresh. So it's good to know that it's tougher. The upgrades to the exotics are cool. It's good to know that my current exotics that I have right now, because like I have this shoulder piece that I love to death that I wish I could keep to, you know, the end of this expansion to the new level cap. Well, I found out that when Xur, the weekend merchant came today, that when I do use the new items to upgrade my shoulder piece, it actually upgrades me up to level 32, or at least to a piece of the equipment I need to get to the new level cap, which is cool. So
see, I've heard so many mixed things about that. So this gun is never going to get over, you know, 300 damage or, you know, you're never going to get more than 30 light out of this piece of armor. And so is that not the case?
If you have a current exotic weapon, you can upgrade it to 332, 340 around that area, depending on what weapon it is. And if you have a piece of armor, if you have an exotic that you love, like you love the look or it gives you stat boost that you really, really count on, you can actually take that to Xur, give him like 7,000 glimmer, give him an exotic shard, and he'll actually upgrade it for you. Now, you do have to re-level it up, but it doesn't take as much experience this time since Bungie realizes you've already leveled it up before. So it busted up to the amount you need for that single piece to get you the 32, which is very, very
cool.
So
it buffs it up, but the drawback is it takes away everything you've already upgraded for it.
It does, but again, it doesn't take nearly as long.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Just reset. Okay.
Yeah.
But you still have to find all the mats again.
You do, but the materials are easy to get now. Because you can just purchase them or do missions and they all the missions.
Yeah, but the purchase is using the Vanguard points. And I want to save that for actually buying shit.
Then do bounties. You get materials for bounties and stuff. So.
Yeah, you get materials for bounties. So. Yep. Well, you get materials for doing the bounties that are like, go do six, you know, missions on the patrol or whatever.
Yeah. And you know, you still rack up pretty quickly. So it's not as hard anymore. So the actual updates to the small parts of the game are great. The new content of like what you actually do in the game is not so much. But at the end of the day, I still like it as Destiny. So what are you going to do? But that's it for me. Chris, I know you got a new one. I know you got a new one. That's the new hotness. Drop it on me. Surprise.
No, I don't.
God damn it.
I do not.
2X on the Vita. I'm playing more.
Actually, yeah, that's true. I've been playing that.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Chris.
I'm sorry, Jeff. That game is going to be on my game of the year list because it is so fucking good. So get over it.
I did pick up.
I'm not saying the game's bad. I'm just saying. You know,
I need to jump in here. I know I just said Chris go, but I did pick up Banner Saga for $5 on Android. That game is fucking awesome. I just wanted to put it out there.
That's Banner Saga, isn't it?
Banner Saga, dog. $5. It's $20 on Steam. And we're getting Banner Saga 2 on PS4. We know that for a fact.
And Vita,
so,
I think, too, yeah.
Dude, Banner Saga, Saga. $5, Android, Stone Cold, get it. It's great. It's really good.
All right. But yeah, I put some more time into the Wii U. I played, some more Super Mario. I picked up Shovel Knight and it's fantastic.
It took you this
I don't know
long?
If you guys have played this.
See, I haven't played it yet.
I played it like, you know, okay. 3 years ago. Not 3 years ago. Earlier this year. I played on 3DS.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to wait until I got it. I was able to get it on the Wii U. So, of course, I picked it up on the Wii U, and then 2 days later, they announced it's coming out for PS4.
Vita. And
that's
shit.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, I'm playing that, and so like the playing games on the gamepad for the Wii U, it works really well. I mean, it's like as far as like latency and lag and stuff like that, it's non-existent. You know, you're playing it. You know, almost like you're playing it on the TV. The problem is that the screen is ugly. So I don't like playing Mario on that thing because it's not good, nice to look at, you know, but because Shovel Knight is made in that old school, like, you know, 8 to 16-bit style, it's perfect for the gamepad. So that game I do play, on the gamepad itself. And
you don't
want to
blow
really
that shit
on
up
there.
On the TV.
Yeah, I mean, you can, and it's fine, but, you know,
it probably looks decent, but, like, it's, like, I'm playing Volgar on, like, my big screen TV, I'm like, this would probably look a lot better on, like, a Vita or something a lot smaller, like a tube TV. I'm like, it looks okay, but it looks overly blocky, more blocky than it would be if it was, like, on a Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo.
Right. Hey, speaking of playing blocky games on a big screen TV, did anybody on the podcast pick up that third-party retro console that upscales all the games up?
I wanted to until they raised
third
the
third-party retro
like,
console.
What is it called?
Retron 5.
The Retron 5.
Are you talking about the Retron 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one.
How is that joint?
Yeah, I have... it's not bad. I mean, it doesn't... You know, the upscaling doesn't really do much for you because you're still looking at... You know, it's still pixels from, you know, the 8 and 16-bit eras. So it's not like it really does much for you, but...
Yeah, not on an HD
TV, you know, it's pretty
TV,
cool.
That's for sure. Yeah. If you were to hook that thing up to, like, a tube TV,
my biggest,
probably
my biggest
awesome.
Issue with it... Yeah. My biggest issue with it is that it's not actually the game hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So it's really just an emulating system.
Some game.
Oh, so there's...
You put the card in and it rips the ROM and it just emulates it on the screen for you. And that's fine, I guess, but,
it'll play other regions.
Experience.
It'll play other regions then, if that's the case.
Yeah,
right?
I think it is. I think it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Completely region free. See, that's a selling point for me. That's cool.
Yeah, it plays, NES, Famicom, Super Famicom, Super NES, Mega Drive, Genesis, and then like all the Game Boys. So it's got quite a bit on there, and I've played a few games on it. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But it got packed up so I could put the Wii U there. So I only got so many space. I only got so much space in my entertainment unit.
My fingers crossed. I might complete the Triforce by Christmas. Because I pretty much like if I don't get a Wii U for Christmas, I'm pretty much buying it myself anyway with my bonus money from work. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
Triforce completed.
Well, my plan, originally, before I found the deal, was, to get that refurb and then pick up Mario and then pick up, you can actually get, Bayonetta as well, but you can actually get, like, the stand that comes with it. You can actually get those on Amazon for, like, $5. And it's nice to be able to just put the gamepad on that for charging. So I was planning on getting that too. And total, it was like, it was like 262 or something like that. So getting the deal for 260 was great. But you know, you can get all that stuff for about 260. Of course I was getting a discount on Mario. So that was one thing, but you know, you could easily get all that stuff for less than 270. No problem.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I'm not going to talk a lot about Shovel Knight. It's just really fun, old-school platforming.
I would not be surprised if that got some Game of the Years. I'm not even kidding.
But is Shovel Knight one of those games that it's, like, unforgiving? Like, okay, that's in a genre I like to call now pixely games. And whenever I get excited about one of those, like Retro City Rampage or... was that Miami game?
Miami. Like, I played some of that yesterday.
You know, that joint right
Game's
there.
Fun.
Or Towerfall. You know what I'm saying? Pixely Towerfall's games.
Fun. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You got to say it with an exclamation point, too, because they're exciting and they're retro. Pixely. They, like, I get so excited about those games, and I haven't jumped on Towerfall because of this one issue. Like, I get into those games, and I get so excited, and it's like, oh, this is going to be cool. It's retro.
Towerfall is garbage single player, so.
It's fucking hard. Like, those games get really, really tough, and...
Shovel Knight is not super, super, super hard. It's like... I wouldn't say it's as hard as something like Mega Man was back in the day on the 8-bit thing, on the 8-bit consoles, but it's...
Well, I got news for you. All those 8-bit console games that...
They're hard.
They're not as hard as Mega Man, are still fucking hard. Like,
yeah,
they're...
no, it is hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It's fucking hard. Like, those games were hard. They're based on repetition, and they're based on memorization and stuff. And this is no different. But I got pretty far in Shovel Knight. I can't remember why I stopped playing it. Probably because I got on the 3DS, and then just at some point, no matter what, when I get a game on... a portable console, I always lose interest in it. I don't know what it is. Maybe if I got it on... Like, I still go back to Volgar almost every day when I'm thinking about what to play. I load that up and play through the first level and a half, because that's as far as I can fucking get through for the last, like...
You gotta get that Fire Emblem, man.
Yeah, well, dude, is that good? I don't know.
That fucking game's amazing. Chris, did you play the Fire Emblem on 3DS? Chris?
No, I didn't play the 3DS one. Keep in mind that my internet connection's bad, so sometimes it takes a little bit longer for you guys to, for me to hear you.
I would get, no, if you get Shovel Knight for like, how much is it, Chris? How much did you get it for? Is it still 10 bucks?
It was 15.
It's still 15 bucks?
Yeah.
If you can get it,
I would get it on Steam, because you can get it on Steam for cheaper.
Or wait for it to come out on PS4. You have a Vita, right?
I do, yeah, but I may hold.
Probably be cross-buy. So.
I may check it out on Steam though, because November 18th is the what everybody believes to be the first day of the Steam sale, the big winter sale. So I may jump
December?
On that.
Did you said November. Just
I'm sorry. Yeah, December. I apologize.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah. Oh yeah. So that Banner Saga will probably be on sale. So if you guys want Banner Saga, good strategy RPG, jump on it.
All right.
What else, Chris?
That's it. That's pretty much it. So, it's mostly been Destiny for me. So,
I do want to say now, because we're probably not going to say it till the end, but we're going to do something pretty big, in the next couple months, probably.
Huge.
If you guys thought our Game of the Year shit was intense, we're going to do something. We're stepping it up. I'm always not saying it now is because there might be some people that kind of, like, you know, listen to news, feature, they might, after we release this, maybe cut off, because who knows, but just saying, you might want to stay tuned, because we're going to do something pretty crazy. We might have a lot of nights of shouting at each other, so it might be a good time. Possibly.
You know, say what it is, because we've already decided that we're going to do it. You can just go ahead and...
Oh, I guess we did, yeah.
Fuck
we're gonna
the
do
gravitas
it.
And just say it.
We're going to do a Game of the Generation...
Holy shit!
...show. Not just one show. We're going to divide it into how many shows it takes, but, you know...
About 20 shows. Yeah. It's about
20
shows.
No. We're trying to keep it like... We're trying to keep it at about three. We're going to do, like, the best 360 game, the best PlayStation 3 game, the best Wii game, the best multi-platform game, then the best overall game that was released... last generation.
But now I did
So all of our shows in 2015 will be
basically
Game of the Generation.
No, I did like I didn't bring this little idea up to you in the thread, but maybe the listeners have a little input. I like that one year when we did where we were doing the Game of the Year episodes, and we allowed the listeners, our fair beautiful, sexy-ass listeners, to actually put in their votes. And not only did we have our Game of the Year, we had a listener.
Oh, yeah,
we
could probably
game
pull
of
something
year.
Up there. Yeah,
we do that every year. So.
Yeah, oh, so that's still going on. Okay, cool. Shows how much I listen.
Oh, yeah, we'll so, do that.
I would love
thanks,
to do
douche.
That. I would love a... I would love a listener Game of the Generation as well. I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, we'll roll something in there like that.
I'm
sure.
Ready to do that math.
I have a feeling the exclusive ones for each one aren't going to be too bad. It's when we get to the multi-platform and the overall, that's when it's going to be like,
it's
going to
get nasty.
Because every day I remember something that I totally fucking forgot about. I'm like, oh my god, that game was so good. Portal 2, like Jesus Christ, that game was amazing.
It was. Yeah.
And Travis, it fucking blasphemy, but you brought up an email thread today, Street Fighter 4. You're like, it's going to be true. I'm like, you know what? When I was thinking about this whole entire idea, I never once even thought of Street Fighter 4, but now that you mentioned it, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
You know, I
like,
said it halfway. I said it halfway as a joke, and I know some of the listeners are like, ugh. But, you know, that.
I really don't think.
You got to keep it real, man.
Shit.
That game defined the show for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we have to keep it separate for personal versus overall. That's when you got some.
We played a lot of that game.
Objectivity in there.
Sure.
We won't get into shit right now, but yeah, I'm just saying it's going to be up there, definitely on my personal list. I might, you know, we'll see what happens when we do the overall.
Cause nah, it's going to be Madden. It's going to be Madden 11.
Madden 11.
Madden 11.
Game of the year.
You're fired.
Generation. All right, so that's it. So anyone else has played anything else?
No, that's it.
I think that's it. All right, let's take a break.
All right, then.
Sure.
Let's do it.
We're going to come back with news, squeaking. New releases, and Jeff's going to check and see if we have any Indus questions. And after that, we'll do. We'll tell you where the question of the week is in again, and we'll wrap it up.
Yep.
So stay with us, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up. And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Moonshine.
Oh boy, here we go. Alright, so let's do a little bit of news. And we did have a couple of events that happened since the last time we recorded. Actually happened during our last recording and the day after. So most of this information is already out there. But we're going to throw around some thoughts. Travis, you had something that you wanted to throw out first.
Yeah, though. You know, I was really excited about it. We were recording during the live show, the live viewing of the Video Game Awards, but once we finished recording, I jumped right into it, caught up. The Video Game Awards, now correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have not, you guys didn't get a chance to watch the awards though, right?
I didn't.
Not you the didn't. Actual, no, no. I was going to, but then a lot of people told me after the fact, after we recorded that, you know what? It's not worth watching. It was a good show for what it was, and it focused on the developers and people who create games. But in terms of like watching new stuff, it wasn't that great. It was just like,
yeah, you know, it's a mix. It's like half E3 announcements, half awards. You know, they did a good job, a better job at announcing the awards. But overall, I won't get into it deeper. It was the best incarnation of a video game award show that we've had. I mean, obviously the bar wasn't that high to begin with.
True.
You know, but last year it wasn't on Spike. Spike, I think, helped produce it, but it was more of a streamed only type deal. Mm-hmm. But this year, you know, Spike dropped it after the VGX last year. Because completely dropped it. And then Jeff Keighley said, you know what? Fuck that. We're going to do it and we're going to do it right. And overall, I think it was a better experience.
It was a better award show is what I've heard.
Exactly. It's not the Emmys or the Oscars or anything like that. They didn't make it a spectacle, but
I can't remember who said it. It was on a Giant Bomb or Rebel FM. The fact that Kiefer Sutherland came out there to introduce Kojima and not the other way around.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty telling, where it's like the actor comes out there, which usually would be the big story to introduce the winner, which was like Hideo Kojima. Where in like the VGAs would have been totally the other way around. That would have been like a big thing. Like, oh, here's, you know, Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah. But yeah.
And you know, then the way he explained it, you know, he could have been bullshitting. He could just be a great actor and he could have fooled me. But you know, Sutherland really seemed like he was truly, truly honored to be a part of that project.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with you. I mean, when I did see that part and I saw what he was saying, and you know, it did seem like he was truly excited to be a part of it.
I think as an actor, he's seeing value in the medium. I think he's seeing that this is a place where actors can come in and do really, really good work and make something great. And I think he feels that way.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, but the big
part
awkward,
about
it,
let's put it that way.
No, it didn't seem awkward at all. It seemed genuine. But the big part that I wanted to bring up about the Video Game Awards before we moved into the Sony experience, where like the meat of the news is, was that you know, they actually tracked the viewership of the Video Game Awards, and
like 2 million
one,
or something,
1.93, almost 2 million people viewed in, which is amazing, seeing that that's a 75% increase over last year's Video Game Awards.
Well, you know, take Spike out of the equation and everybody's
excited,
you know.
But Keighley came out and said, like, he wanted to emphasize that this is all to do with the gamer community, which is fantastic. There was zero marketing dollars and no TV spots for the show whatsoever. It was all 100%, 100% word of mouth, which is amazing to get 2 million views. Like, there were sitcoms this year that got canceled after like 3 episodes that didn't even get 2 million views. That is an amazing feat. So we should be proud of that. And we also should be thankful that, you know, Jeff Keighley, who I think if we got an award for like Gamer of the Year, give it to Jeff Keighley. He really did a good job with those awards this year.
Oh, he did a great job. Yeah.
Some technical snafus here and there. Sometimes a microphone wouldn't work here or there. But you know what? For your first go for like a full independent game award program, I think they knocked it out of the park.
Jeff Keighley's awesome. He's dedicated and passionate.
It's only going to get better. I really do believe. I can finally say, you know, in the past with the VGA Awards, we were like, what were we saying? We hope it's better this year. We hope it's better this year.
I think this year it was, and we said that we hope that it's more focused about the developers and the people who make the games. But we want to see the big reveals. That's what kind of draws us as well. So.
And I'm not going to lie. They did their industry icon award. And the game that got me into video games, you know, everybody can say Mario or playing Atari and stuff like that was their first game. And that could be true. It could be their first game, but there was one series that got me into game that actually made video games grab its hooks in me and carry on to where I'm at today. And that series is King Quest. And for them to give Roberta and Ken Williams the industry icon award, and then for her to literally pass the torch to another dev team to carry on the franchise, I was so moved by that. I was so moved to see them recognize Roberta and Ken for that kind of accomplishment, because for me, that was the series that said, okay, video games are it for you, dude. This is what you're going to do as your hobby for the rest of your life. So it was really cool to see that. So that was fun too. But, you know, there was another big announcement. Actually, there was a huge announcement last VGAs that took the internet by storm. And then they came back this VGAs and gave us what I think we all agree is going to be the greatest game ever released.
Oh, yeah, totally Batman Arkham Knight.
Well, that's going to be okay, I guess. But when you compare it to that No Man's Sky, there's no better game out there, right? I mean, this is the one that everybody knows.
Wait, sorry,
is going to
what did you say after the title?
No Man's Sky, greatest game of the generation.
So yeah,
coming
what did you
up?
Say? I mean, what did you say? That was with a G and it with an aim.
G game game game
game game. Game? That's
oh,
it.
It's got to be a game.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get. It's the elephant in the video game room, right? Like this is.
I don't know if it's much of an elephant. I think it's more of like a.
It's our elephant in the room.
I think
the rest
so.
Of the industry is like still stars in the eyes, but I think
some
we're
of
all,
them are. Some
I
of
think,
them aren't.
I think we're at least we're on that side to where we're like, I'm almost past cautiously optimistic. I'm a little bit flat out worried.
I'm not.
You're not.
No, not at all. I am.
God, I'm worried.
See, but that's because I'm a technology guy. So I would pick this up just so I can see and be in awe of the technology behind it. You know, and it's
but as a game,
I know
though.
It would be as a game. It's I don't know if it's gonna. I don't know what kind of game it's gonna be. It could be a glorified tech demo, and I'll still want to experience it.
But
know?
If
that's
you just go from
at.
Planet to planet to planet, and that's it, trying to get to the center,
I don't care. I'm okay with that.
That's gonna
if what they say if they can do what they say they are going to do, then I am going to be interested in just seeing what comes next.
Give me a. I don't need. This is one of the instances where I don't need a character or plot to drive me towards mm-hmm. the center of the universe. This is one of those things that it is. The tech is so impressive that I don't need that. I don't need like awesome graphics and stuff like that. This game doesn't deliver that, and I don't need that in this title because the tech is impressive. But I do need to know what I'm going to be doing, what I have to do in the process of getting there. And they have not delivered information bit one on that. Like, nope. Do I have to upgrade my ship? Do I have to go and salvage natural resources
from
these planets?
Is there any interaction
like,
towards anyone else in that?
Yeah, game? Exactly. They actually showed us going to a spaceport with other ships in real time, landing there, and you step out, but no one else steps out, so we don't even know if there are other characters, and if they are, what they even look like on screen. Like, there's no information out there aside from the fact that you go to other planets in real time and end up going towards
the
center
of the
galaxy.
Too, the real-time thing is awesome, but they don't really show in any of the demos how far you can go to get to another planet in real-time. They've all been really close by. So I want to, like, not that I'm... I just want to know how large, not the largest universe is, but... I don't know how to put this.
Like, how big the planets are. Like,
planets are, like, yeah, can you actually go around the entire planet?
Can you land at any part of the planet? Or if when you go close to a planet, are you, like, kind of tractor beam to it? Like, these are all important things. Like, they said there's going to be space battles. Show us a fucking space battle. Show us how you attack. We haven't seen one bullet or missile fly from one of your spacecrafts onto another spacecraft. We haven't seen that. Like, you say it's there.
I think they showed one.
That was there in the first trailer.
Yeah, I think they showed
it
in the first
trailer. We have seen other like big frigates fighting against each other. We have not seen your ship in your point of view firing at another ship. We have not seen that. Not seen it.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at that.
I think I said last week, like it's all going to come down to pricing to me. Like if it's like $10-15, I'll buy it just on the novelty alone, being like, this is really cool. But if there's actually no game mechanic to it, I will probably play it once or twice and be like, hey, check this out. It's cool. You can go planet to planet and fly and land, take pictures, whatever. Right. It's like Africa and space, but you can go through like,
oh my God, that would be the worst thing ever. Now, Jeff, you said it yourself and I'm surprised you haven't said it now. I mean, without, you know, making you sound dramatic, but you know, this could be, you said it. I mean, you said it yourself. I'm
the biggest
your words.
Disappointment.
This could be the biggest disappointment of the year.
Yeah, it could
it
be.
It could be.
Because it's so hyped up and it has been for the last year and a half.
It's so hyped up. This right now, unless they show us something new in the next couple of months, this is a wait for review scores type of game for me. Like
what they have going for it though, and I don't want to bring it back to this, but it's the only thing I can draw a parallel to, is unlike Destiny, they're not promising the world. So anything that people expect from this game, or assume
their own fault.
Is their own fault for assuming or expecting it.
Your own personal hype is getting you excited.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they have not said they might have said there's going to be ship combat, but other than that, they have not really gone into much detail. So my expectations for the game are actually pretty low in terms of a gameplay aspect of the game. In terms of like what you do on the surface and, not really. Intended,
we see all the on the user interface. We see all these bars and graphs and stuff like that. The only thing that we know for a fact what is the name of the planet. They pointed out the name of the planet. That's where that's at. But we don't know what the other bars or icons or anything mean.
No.
Like, explain that. Like, let us know what
is. I don't think they really know. Like, we talked about it briefly between
let's just put a whole bunch of shit up on the screen for it now.
Well,
people will
think
it's something
they really had this great idea, but didn't know how to build a game around it yet. All right, because let's pray. You got to build the engine first, make sure the engine works, do all that shit, then kind of build a game around it. And they probably have a lot of pressure because the game was shown really early, and they probably have pressure on it to release it next year. So I'm hoping that. I hope it's almost like a platform type thing where it's like, okay, the first edition you download is basically this is what you can do. You can do this kind of cool stuff, but there's not too much there. And they keep adding to it, or where they do a sequel where they add a bunch of full blown shit to it because they nailed all the stuff on the basic.
I would love like a Minecraft model for this.
Or
like,
just keep adding to it.
You buy a game and it just add. Maybe like, you know, 6 months down the road, there's another like $10 purchase or something that. I'm okay with that.
And normally I'd say that doesn't work on consoles, but fucking Minecraft is making a killing on consoles.
They did.
So.
I think they're doing okay, or they did okay. I mean, it's those guys are sitting fine.
I'm still interested, but I'm cautiously optimistic about the actual game that's there. Like, if there's not too much gameplay, it's going to be something like Flower or like Journey. There's not a lot of game in Journey. There's mechanics, but that game is only like, what, 2.5 hours long? Maybe?
Yeah, it's a really short game, but it's about that. It's about that implied narrative.
Journey.
Exactly.
Like from
you did it,
like,
you son of a bitch.
You can't help it. You can't help but do it.
You can.
It's about that journey, and and that's okay. And that seems that's artistic. I don't think that's where this is, though. I mean, this is
no. I think this is big, and they're trying to be like it's kind of never ending, and just kind of just do what you want.
Yeah, it's very. It's as infinite as we could imagine at this point, because they talked about it as saying, you know, oh, if you wanted to visit every planet, you'd be, you know, hanging around for however many thousands of years or whatever it was. It was ridiculous, you guys have a very good point. You know, we don't know what kind of game is behind it, but for me, I don't care. I mean, I am more interested in what they are doing with that tech, and it's very interesting to me. And I will support it regardless, because in reality, what I see from that, and I mean, we could build a feature around this fucking thing, but here's what I see in that with the right parameters and like rule sets and stuff that are like installed in that type of engine. Think about a Skyrim game where everybody's world is different.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the type of potential that something like this has. I mean, it's all about rule sets. It's all about rule sets. It's like, okay, well, you know, this is how big the area is going to be. And there needs to be this many mountain ranges, and they need to be this far apart from each other. And one of these mountain ranges has to have this type of dungeon. And, you know, you give it all these rules and you just say, go. And it just builds this world for you, and everybody's Skyrim experience is different. I mean, that's the type of potential that this could possibly bring.
Without all the story.
What I'm saying is they could use this type of technology in an Elder Scrolls game and get that type of experience.
That would be pretty amazing.
That's the type of potential that I see in this. I mean, is that a pipe dream? Sure, it fucking might be. I have no idea. But when they showed off some of that stuff and forget about how seamless everything was. Like, the first thing that impressed me was how seamless it was. You went from space right into a planet. There was no transition at all. And then you blew off into space again and again, no transition. All that aside.
To be fair, we do not know if you have full control once you enter that planet.
I have a feeling you do, but that's beside the point. My point is that, this procedural generation of a world can open up new avenues for games like Elder Scrolls. And it really could be applied to a lot more than that. I mean, think about Grand Theft Auto and having a brand new, like, you know, fictional city, and everybody's city is completely different, you know?
Yeah, but then that would totally fuck up the story narrative, because narrative, like, missions are built around certain parameters that the game has built, like,
and that's fine.
Like,
it could still do that.
Diablo, it would work, or something that's like...
But no, it can still do that, because you are setting up the rules and saying, I need this city and this building and this city and this building.
What this game isn't doing, though, is giving you a direct mission of what you're doing and an objective.
Right.
So yes, if you're just doing nothing, of course it'll be awesome. But if you take like Skyrim or Grand Theft, you need to have story missions. You need to have like set things or set like, you have to be doing something different.
And there's no reason you can't do that.
Yeah, because what if they're, and if it was totally 100% randomly generated, you could not do that.
But that's the thing. What I'm saying is it is not 100% randomly generated. It is procedurally generated, and you apply parameters to it and say, I need this, 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 and this, go. And if you say that you need, for, say, Grand Theft Auto, I need 3 police stations that are this far apart from each other, and I need a fire station that's this far apart, and I need this mission to be able to go from this building to this building to this building, and it lays all that out. If you have the definition of all the pieces you need, then it could randomly generate.
How would you program AI though, for certain points of like scripted events?
Well, okay, that's actually explained in the Game Informer article. Definitely read it. It is a really, really good read. Even though it doesn't give you that much new information, but it does go into that. Each animal that is procedurally generated, the game does recognize the different species. Even though there's different types of these set species, they do all have a specific AI.
I'm talking about like regular AI in terms of like
scripted events would still work because no matter how the city gets laid out, you always know that you're going to have this particular spot for this scripted event to happen. It just might be on a different place on the map for one person to another.
But in terms of a straight up story mission, how is that even possible? Because if you're going to totally, like, procedurally generate something.
Okay, what kind of story mission?
Like a scripted event, like you get to a certain point of this mission, and then all of a sudden that's going to cue a certain things to happen. If that part, because that is done by people placing down A points, once a character gets to this point, it cues something. How is that possible? It's going to be all procedurally generated and not have a linear type of mission or story type?
But you would still be able to do that because you would have trigger points. You could have like trigger points.
What would the trigger point be though?
You can make it anything you want. That's what I'm saying. It's all about the parameters. So take everything that's in Grand Theft Auto 5 and then just move everything around randomly. All the stuff is still there.
So helicopter crashes into building, and what happens if your procedure shit happens and the building is not in that exact area where you're going to be in the car?
If it's a scripted event as part of a mission, then it's going to happen at that building.
I'm saying. So if it's going to randomly generate anything, how is that going to be possible for every single player to experience that in terms of a story mission?
Because it always happens at the same location. But what if there's no building? You're not getting what I'm saying.
Well, the building is going to be there.
It's just going to be in a different place on the map for every one person. That's still the building you're going to go to for the scripted event, regardless of where it is on the map.
So what would that differentiate it from anybody else then? What would be the point of that, I guess
Jeff,
I'm saying?
I am giving you an example. I am not trying to sell you on Grand Theft Auto with this engine. I'm just giving you an example.
But I'm just saying, what would be the excitement to that? So it's like, hey, I can enjoy the exact same story mission as Travis did. It just happened to be on a different part of the map.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
What would be the point of that? That's what I don't get. That's what I don't think...
That's the question. Like, so would that be, cause if you take all the scripted story events out of Grand Theft Auto and say you have an entire planet and you can play Grand Theft Auto in and all you have are these random events that you see in Skyrim, that you see in Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto, these random things just pop up on a map. If you just have a game full of nothing but that, it's gonna be boring. I think that's what Jeff is trying to say. Like,
yeah,
there's no direction at all. There's no interest.
But you guys are completely missing my point.
No, I do get your point. I do get your point that what you're talking about is, you know, can be possible and will be possible, and I think that will be the next evolution of open world games. I think we will see that. But that may not even be. I think that's so, especially in a game that's as high quality as Grand Theft Auto. Say what you want about the series, but it's a very high quality game, and I don't think we're gonna see that until like PS5 or Xbox 2 or whatever. Like, you're not gonna see that until then. But
yeah, I was just giving you guys an example.
No,
I'm not saying that that's where we're going.
Sure.
No, but I thought you were giving an example of what you think this could actually do in terms of No Man's Sky. I didn't realize you're saying an evolution of it. Evolution of it. Yes, totally. As in No Man's Sky, that shit ain't happening. There's no way.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not going to happen within No Man's Sky. I'm talking about the engine itself and how the engine can be applied to other types of games.
But they've done that before, though. So what makes No Man's Sky different in terms of the whole procedural generated stuff?
Because it's a space game.
Is that the only thing? The only thing I'm pressing about No Man's Sky is there's never been anything like No Man's Sky.
Yeah, there
has never been
anything
as procedure generated.
There has never been anything to the scale of No Man's Sky.
Not to the scale of going from like universe, planet to planet. That's a little too much. I mean, because technically,
they haven't even said yet if they try to say like, yeah, the universe will be like if someone has like finds a planet, that planet will be there for everyone to find.
It is there.
We don't really know if people are playing in the same fucking server or fucking universe because they haven't even said that yet. They said, yeah, it's there.
No, it's all one world.
No, they did.
It is one world. But there is a little bit of like cross communication going here, because on one side, they have made the comment that it would take people so and so and so and so time to find everything. But on the flip side of that, they say it's infinite. Like, you're never going to find everything. And I get that, but like, if one thing's infinite, there should never be a timetable on how long it would take to find everything. If it's infinite, you should just say
there is nothing. Yeah.
It's gonna ongoing.
There's no
forever.
End. There's no end game. It's just like you just keep going.
Well, there is an end game. You gotta make it to the center.
Well, no, what I'm saying is what you're saying is if they're saying that's true, there is not no end game because you just keep going. So why would you want to go to the center if it has its infinite universe?
And if you make it to the center, what makes you go from the center
to outward?
Why would you go out? This game. Like, I want it so bad, but I just want it to mean something. Like, come on, like,
I want it to be fucking Wing Commander or like TIE Fighter or like something, that type of game, like a space sim shooter that lets you do that kind of stuff and have like grandma. I'm like, well, you're asking for it to be a game that's not what it is. Well, you know what? Well, fuck. That's what people dreamed of, and hopefully this will be the step to get us there.
At the end of the day, there's going to be no better space sim than Star Citizen. Once we get Star Citizen, we're going to be fine.
2018, like, it's going to be amazing.
23 maybe, we'll see. But no, I mean,
but at that point,
once,
we'll actually be living on spaceship.
We'll be there. Yeah.
Mars mission is in progress, right?
It'll basically be a life simulator. It'll be like The Sims. Star Citizen, when it releases, it'll be The Sims.
I'm with you. We talked about this for a while, but I'm with you, Travis. I'm cautiously optimistic. I like.
God, I'm so
there,
worried. I'm flat out worried.
I don't
worried,
think
dog.
There's any gameplay
like,
there at all.
I'm worried. Yeah. I need. I hope. I know we agree on this. I hope they prove us wrong. I hope they come out tomorrow with news. This is what everything you do, and then blow our minds. Like, I would love for this game to blow my mind all over again. But I'm worried. I'm really worried. So. Sony Experience, that happened too.
That did happen. And there were a bunch of announcements that didn't result in any hype at all.
Holy God, guys.
What do you mean?
It's like, oh my God.
Final Fantasy VII is coming.
Oh,
and it's a PC port.
Was that like, was dude, the worst troll of
the century. That was a troll
century.
Of the century, dude. And that it's only 2014. So that was the troll of the century. That
it
was ridiculous.
When that came out, it was funny because I was actually one of the ones I saw because I missed half of this thing. And it came out and I just started laughing. So I'm like, it's gonna be a port. It's gonna be on PS4, the same fucking one. And I was looking at Twitter. I was like, "Oh, here it is! Holy shit, this is gonna be it." I'm like, "No, it's not, guys. It's
let me give a little bit of love.
They would not do that at PSX. That would be an E3 shit."
Trolling aside, let me give just a little bit of love to that PC port. Okay, is that there is an awesome mod that actually makes that game look really, really good and works really, really well.
Oh, I'm
but
sure
you can't
is.
Use it on the PS4. You can't.
No,
like
PC
it's just
only.
Not possible. Like, what's the point?
I don't
like,
know why
Square?
They're holding on to that shit. And their excuse is it'll cost them way too much money to make that and re-up.
They
I'm
would
like,
make so
are
much
you
money.
Fucking kidding
they're,
me?
They're just, God.
Jesus.
It was ridiculous.
Did you see? Did you see how much money they're charging for Final Fantasy VII?
What is it, like $20?
$16.
Fuck are that. You fucking serious?
$16.
Fuck that.
Guys. Fucking Tactics, which is arguably a better game than Final
bucks,
Fantasy
right?
VII, is $9.99.
Yeah, totally
get the fuck
deal.
Out of here. Get yeah, the fuck out yeah. of here. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it whatsoever. Like, it's just...
Oh, man.
Like,
Square. That was the biggest troll.
But
it
this
was,
is the company... This is the company that said that Tomb Raider didn't sell enough after it sold, like, 8 million copies.
Well, it was, like, 3 or 4 million.
Well, it was
well
like
no,
the,
overall, it's like
overall
8
after
yeah.
the
oh, really?
After the like ultimate
yeah.
edition, it was
it
like
got up to that much,
7 or 8 million.
At the time they said it was like 4 million, or no, I think it was 6 million, and that's why everyone's like, oh my God, it sold 6 million, and it wasn't enough.
Yeah,
and then
but
yeah.
after the ultimate edition, it was like over like 7 or 8 million. It was
wow.
insane.
Yeah, I think it's up there. It sold very well overall.
I'm trying to think of some of the things that looked good.
Well, I mean, and it's funny because the next thing I'm going to mention, like, I'm going to triple dip on this motherfucker, but once Bastion releases on PS4, bought.
Oh, yeah.
Bought. And, that's cross-buy, too. So you buy it on
it
PS4,
is
you get
Vita
it for Vita,
well.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
So I was going to, I might want to do it to support them, but at the same time, I try to play it again on 360. I'm like, I just can't play this through this game again. So I might not, but
yeah.
We'll see. I liked it. I loved it, but it's not one of those games I want to replay, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like Transistor. Loved it. I don't think I'd play it again, though.
Tim Schafer jumped on stage.
Yeah, Broken
and,
Age is coming for PS4.
Yeah, Broken Age. We're going to get episode 1 and 2, obviously, for that. He announced the Grim Fandango remastered. Any fan of King's Quest, especially if you love the LucasArts age of the point-click adventure games, Grim
well, that
Fandango.
Was announced before. That was announced like
we knew that
year.
Was coming, but we actually got to see more of it, which
the
was
date.
Really cool.
We got a date.
Yeah,
he also announced Day of the Tentacle.
Which I was a little disappointed. Yeah. I like.
Oh, really?
I like Day of the Tentacle, but
did
I'm
did you want
I'm,
Maniac Mansion?
No, I'm with the with the majority who wants full fucking throttle on
well,
PS.
Well, yeah,
come
but you can't
on.
Jump into full throttle. You have to do Day of the Tentacle first, and then go into full throttle.
I would
even go to Grim Fandango before full throttle, to be honest with you. But I figured it would go like you know, Tentacle, Throttle, Fandango. Would that Fandango? That would make the most sense. But
so they showed some gameplay for the Order. Which kind of looks like a Gears of War.
They did.
Type game.
Oh, it's always looked like Gears of War.
I don't know why I'm not excited about that game, man.
A lot of people. Or, well, people who. It looks pretty. It's fucking gorgeous.
I will play it. For sure.
But it looks.
I don't know if it'll be a day one buy, but I'll
play it. I think they showed more gameplay this time, which made it more promising to me. Because remember,
definitely.
Last time they showed that game off, it was like 30 seconds of gameplay. A minute of cutscene.
And then running from
five
a wolf.
5 seconds. Yeah, and the running from the wolf was obviously a cutscene that you're just kind of controlling.
That was
annoying. And then it was like, then you had like a reticule for a second, and when you hit the fucking shoot button, it went into another cutscene. But this actually showed some gameplay, which kind of looked a little more promising.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
I don't know. I have trust in that developer, and the game is fucking gorgeous, so if they can.
Yeah, I will likely get it. So, can we get this out of the way?
Sure.
Yeah. Uncharted 4 looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looks pretty great.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It looks pretty great.
No, I mean,
it looks like Uncharted, but it looks pretty.
But in general, man, it looks like they've learned a lot because that entire encounter was so dynamic and fluid. It wasn't a continuous stop and pop type encounter.
Right.
You know, and that's what we've become accustomed to with Uncharted, and It did not seem like that at all. I mean, you say, yeah, it was Uncharted, and sure, to an extent it was, but to an extent it wasn't.
But
I mean,
feels like you could go through that battle
a little differently
in multiple ways. Like, it
absolutely
feels like
there's a lot of different paths.
When the guy got spotted by the enemy, he was hanging there on a ledge in front of a guy, so it almost felt like he was purposefully hanging there to cause a gun battle. But I really do feel the way that level was progressing that you could legitimately go through that completely stealth. And
yeah, and well, and you can do that in the old ones too. To leave it,
there's
so.
Not really.
Well, you couldn't always, but I mean. Something
but,
like that.
You know,
where
they added the hiding in the tall brush a la Assassin's Creed. So it makes me feel like they're really,
that
really trying
awesome.
To push the stealth element to where, like, if you want to, I would love to see an Uncharted game where, I mean, you know, in Metal Gear, which is a game about, you know, the military, essentially, you have
well, yes.
the ability to go through that game and not kill a single person. I
yes.
would love to see Uncharted.
Oh God.
I would love to see an Uncharted
yeah,
game where Nathan Drake is not
happen.
A mass murderer. I would love to see that. Like, give us
he
that.
He kills more people per capita per year than like, almost, anyway. Like than the Master Chief. Like, they're
yeah.
right up there.
Like, he yeah. kills like 400 guys, and it's such a joke that in Uncharted 3, the main villain said, "How many people did you kill to get to me, Nathan?" Like, they literally say that. They literally say it. You know, so like, I don't get it, but Chris, you know, to your point, let's talk about this more. It seems Jeff's not as excited, and I'm not saying that because he just sent us a message saying he needs to take a pee break. But no, it does look really, really good. I mean, it looks
graphically.
I was impressed.
And there's a lot of people that are giving it hell because it doesn't look like the original, like, screens that they showed. I don't know. I mean, I thought it looked fantastic. It looks like it plays better. One of the things that I know I was trying to keep a good eye on was, the reaction of the enemies that were getting shot. And it seemed like they were reacting because that was one of the big problems that, like Jason had with the first couple, is that, you know, you'd shoot a dude, like three times and he'd only react once mm-hmm. and the other two bullets would like get absorbed or something like that.
The enemies were really sponges. They
yeah,
were sponges.
And they still
it,
kind
yeah.
of are, but it doesn't seem like it's nearly as bad. I mean, pretty much every shot you saw hit a guy. Was reacted to, is what I'm getting at.
Right. And I mean, I'll go ahead and say it because I'm this fickle of a guy, but I am the most excited at the fact that this is going to be the game where we finally get a one-on-one, like, character for character combination of Nolan North and Troy Baker working together. I am so excited about that because, you know, Uncharted is one of those games where not only do they, you know, voice, you know, they don't just record the voices in a separate booth. They,
no,
act,
they act
it out together.
Out. Yeah. yeah.
They're
yeah.
on a soundstage together working it out. And to me, that's a huge deal.
In a ball suit.
this is like a huge deal seeing these two famous voice actors finally getting to work together.
Yeah.
It's going to be an amazing experience. I'm really.
Well, they've worked together in a shitload of games.
But
not
like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not on this Uncharted level.
No, I'm excited for Uncharted.
I'm super pumped.
It looks good.
Let me see. They also showed off a little bit of gameplay from Bloodborne. Well, that's on my radar now. It wasn't to
that
begin
good.
With. Yeah, it wasn't to begin with because it was.
That's
it
the
was
first
like,
time you saw gameplay?
It was the first time that I saw like extensive gameplay about like what could be done.
They had like
I really,
a long gameplay video like months ago.
And I really didn't like pay attention to that. But this was like, I watched the keynote for PlayStation Experience and it was on, so I was watching it. And it is on my radar now. It looks like it's faster paced than the Souls
games.
It does
look faster paced.
And that, you know, that, and it looks like it's a little bit more, approachable. So that's, definitely a plus in my book.
For more Demon Souls, Dark Souls, please tune into the Interactive Distractions Game of the Generation episode forthcoming.
If Jason's on
I'm
it,
sure they'll be talking about that
yeah.
at least.
Jaffe came out.
Yeah.
As a game.
He does.
I am so not excited about it. I'm actually
I'm going to
go refill.
Thank you, Travis.
I'm
going to
go refill my drink because
we're not talking about
no,
it.
This
I
shit
think
looks
we're all
bland.
The same agreement.
We're on the same page.
We're
it
all
does
on the
not
same
look
page.
It does
I
not
don't
look fun
think
at all.
That looks.
It's an interesting art style.
Yes.
It kind of brings me back to like Comic Zone on the Sega Genesis a little bit, but other than that.
See, I would be more interested if this was like a single player adventure game in that style. Like, okay, this is this kid is. I mean, that makes more sense to me, right? Am I wrong about this?
If a kid is writing in his notebook, 100% agree with you.
If a kid is writing in his notebook, isn't he? So doesn't he have like a character he loves? That's going on an adventure.
Four player. I think it's four players versus, and you're basically playing in these. The art style is like a drawing from somebody's like art book or something like that, which on paper sounds pretty
fucking cool. It's a doodle.
Cool.
It's a doodle from
yeah,
a notebook.
Yeah, basically a doodle. Yeah.
And that does sound really cool, but those guys are cool for a four-player shooter.
I'm sorry. If this is just a doodle on his kid's notebook or notepad or whatever, that kid is fucked up because the shit that he's drawing in there.
they went for that shit.
This kid is going to like be so – he's going to need like psychotherapy or something like that. That kid is messed up. He draws some shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Jaffe. I love Jaffe, but since he left the God of War team, he's just kind of
dwindled.
I don't know what he's doing. Like, the game looks like it could be fun. I found it hard to see what the hell was going on, to be honest, with those videos, just because the way the art style is.
Yeah.
Like, the art style looks cool, but when you're actually playing the game, well, I've never played the game, but when you see people playing the game, I was like, what is happening? Like, I don't get what's going on here.
Game Trailers apparently got their hands on it and got to play it a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch that video, but one of the dudes apparently did not like it at all.
And they did reiterate a bunch. I don't know how many times Jaffe said this during the whole thing. It's pre-alpha, which we get.
Pre-alpha.
But you know what? Goes back to what we talked about last week. Don't show the game.
It's right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fucking wait till you have more there than that.
I really feel like that was a missed opportunity. I mean, the style behind it and the idea of like being inside the world of this kid's notebook, that's a really, really cool idea, but not
for
a four-player class-based shooter.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Four-player, by the way, not eight. Four.
Yeah, and you know, you gotta give Sony a little bit of props too. It's kind of what you're talking
about.
You know, don't show your game and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, apparently The Last Guardian is still in development. Apparently though, they did, you know, completely focus it onto the PS4, but you know, good for, you know, they could easily.
They've been saying that for 3 or 4 years.
Jeff, you know for a fact, the reason I'm bringing it up is because they easily could be showing it at every single press conference.
If they could show this shit at pre-alpha, why the fuck aren't they showing what the hell Last Guardian is after fucking 6 years?
Has it been only 6 years? I thought it had been longer.
Oh, it might have been more. I don't know. I'm throwing numbers out of my ass. I have no fucking clue. But I mean, it must be more like further on in development than this thing or a bunch of other games that have been fucking No Man's Sky. Like, just fucking show it. No, they have that care to say, like, fucking people want this. Fucking everyone left the company. We barely have this company. Holy shit, what are we going to do? Just tell people it's still in development. Because as long as we bring it up once per meeting a year, technically that's still in development. So let's keep saying that.
All right.
Because they haven't sold shit.
We're going to write it down right now. We're going to do a precursor since we're really close. So if I'm still temporarily co-hosting this show with you guys,
when
write it down.
Out?
When that happens, I will definitely.
So the same time Star Citizen comes out, we'll be like, where's Last Guardian?
I will make one of my predictions. Guaranteed, I will make one of my predictions. We will get an official announcement that it's coming out, that Last Guardian is coming out for PS4.
So what Taylor Swift song are you going to sing?
we'll let the listeners decide. We'll let the listeners vote.
And the thing is, Sony ended it with that, and I thought that was fucking weak.
What they should have
ended it with was the fucking Street Fighter stuff. I think that would have, like, because this was online only. So it was only really gamers and maybe some casuals out there that follow this shit. If they ended that, I swear to God, I wish that didn't leak. Because if I saw that, like, if I would have saw Jaffe go up there and
pissed your pants,
talk about that shit, I would have screamed like a fucking girl. I'm like, ah, Street Fighter 5! And it fucking leaked like a few days earlier, and I think they should have fucking ended on that. Like, that would have been amazing.
I was pretty impressed with the way they went about that, because they were like, oh, and Ultra Street Fighter 4 is coming out exclusively for PS4. And then
it's like, and
then he's like, oh, did you guys expect a different Street Fighter that we were going to talk about? We're going to move on now.
I thought that was funny,
man. That was another one of those ultimate troll moments. It's like, oh, you are such a dick.
Yeah. But I think that was the biggest news of the whole entire Sony thing. Like, if that didn't leak, That would have been like, it still kind of was like, it was definitely exciting no matter either way you go. But that would have been like, if that, imagine that leaked, like, before, like, hey, remember when, I don't know if you guys remember this, but back like in E3 2008?
Like it was yesterday.
When Microsoft ended their conference with Final Fantasy 13 coming to Xbox 360.
Oh, I do remember that, yeah.
That was like huge.
It was a huge deal.
Like,
it was a big deal.
It was like the first time they ended up with that. It was like, oh my god. Like, it broke down Retroids. Like, VG Evo at the time just like shut down the site. It was crazy. If that got released a few days earlier, it'd be like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But now that it's happening, I'm like, yeah, I kind of saw this coming. That would have been huge. I'm sorry. Like, Street Fighter being like, here's Street Fighter 5, 1. My boner's already right up there. And it's like, exclusive. We're like, what the fuck? That is really fucked up. And then also Street Fighter 4 is also exclusive. Like, that is also fucked up. And that would have been crazy. But no, they ended it with fucking Jaffe's pre-alpha alpha.
Piece fucking, of shit.
Like, yeah, where when you're shooting a machine gun at somebody, it says, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Like, Jaffe, come on, dude. I like you, but come on. Come on. You're like, yeah, come on. Anyway, Street Fighter.
Yes. There's really not much else to talk about from PlayStation Experience that I can think of. You guys have anything else that you know of? I could mention Killing Floor 2 because Killing Floor is really fun and they're local here.
Well, that's a local, that's like literally they're 10 minutes away from me.
Yeah, pretty
much. Where they made Killing Floor 2, they're like 10, 15 minutes away from, you could walk to their dev studio.
Yeah,
they're so close. I didn't realize this. I mean, this is some, recent news, something past the, PlayStation Experience, but, I didn't ever realize Final Fantasy Type O HD is coming to PS4.
I don't know what that is.
It's kind of like a more mature Final Fantasy title that was originally supposed to be like a mobile game or something, but it's actually, they made it more, they fleshed it out to like more of a legit Final Fantasy title. And then they announced that the Final Fantasy 15 demo is going to be coupled with that. So it's one of those things where they're selling you on a demo with a game on the side. One of those.
I'm trying to interject here for a second.
Go ahead.
Because Sunset Overdrive is a fantastic game. What Microsoft should have done is pulled the fucking Crackdown card,
put in
fucking Halo 5 beta.
Do it.
With the fucking Sunset Overdrive. Because fuck all you gamers out there who are like, we're not going to make Sunset get on the MPD list. That is bullshit.
Yeah,
that is
it didn't make it. What was that about?
And,
well,
and Xbox.
Gamers are full of shit. We want originality. We want something new. We want something different.
But you won't buy it.
But no, you know what's on the top? Call of Duty. Fucking Madden. NBA. Fucking Halo was Halo was number 10 on the fucking shit. It was all like straight up shit, like sequels and shit that's like Assassin's Creed. And it was, oh god. It's bad.
It's crazy.
Jeff is bitter.
I am bitter because I'm sick of hearing people on Twitter and Facebook and everything.
100%
and being like,
agree with you, dude.
I want an original game. I want this. Insomniac says, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to make the game we want to make. And mind you, MPD said it does not count bundles. So the Xbox One white bundle, they weren't counted in game sales. And they must have, like, that shit was sold out. Like, right, I don't know how many they made.
Yeah.
They could have
made 50,000. I don't think they made much, basically.
They could have made 200,000. Who fucking knows?
Amazon had more in.
There you go. We'll fucking support that shit. But I'm just saying, fuck people. People suck. Gamers suck. And it made me realize how the minority of the people that actually care are the ones that actually buy shit. Or that don't buy shit, I should say. Or buy shit. Wait, what was the other?
I have no idea where you're going with this, man.
I have no clue.
The vocal minority,
video
the people
games.
You see everywhere, aren't the people that matter. The people that are really into it.
Yeah.
They don't, they're nothing.
There's a reason some titles go every year.
Right? It's all about the dude bros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I gotta throw out, this isn't necessarily news. I think this game got announced, months ago, but just on the Wii U tip, just to show Nintendo a little bit of love since we are coming around
to the
Wii
U
now.
Yeah.
But god damn it, man. Chris, it's in the first half of 2015. I don't know if it's a kid's game or not. At first glance, it does, but so did Kirby's Epic Yarn at first.
You talking about Yoshi?
That fucking Yoshi game looked great. Have you seen that?
I have.
It looks fucking fantastic. Like, it's all, like, cloth-based and knitted.
It looks very cool. It's stylistically very beautiful.
And knitted.
And
it looks, it's great.
And I'm just not interested.
Really? Like, I mean.
I played Kirby's Epic Yarn, and it was cool for, like, 5-10 minutes, but I wouldn't want to go back and play it.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that.
So.
Good job, fat guy. Burping.
Fat guy podcast.
You remember, I'm going to do a little Indus bring back. This is way off topic, but do you remember?
A review from NeoGAF.
Remember we got that, yeah, we got that, that review.
It's on NeoGAF. Fuck NeoGAF.
Yeah, some guy was like, yeah, this podcast would be good if it wasn't for all those, like, fat guys burping
they said,
and
they
shitting.
Said, like, a minute and a half in, someone burped, fat guy podcast.
Yeah. Fat guy podcast.
And the funny thing is like, five or six posts later, he finishes it and he goes, actually, that was pretty good.
Yeah, well, yeah, because Lag went on there. Was like, actually, there none of them are really fat. So, yeah. And have you? Nah,
except for
mind.
That Chris guy, he's pretty fat.
Chris, you're a strapping, stocky young man.
You're
thank you.
Don't let anyone else. Fat. Don't let anyone else tell you that. You may be pH
I'm big,
fat.
I'm big boned.
Don't use big bone because that's what people fat people say that they're not fat.
I know,
but you are not fat.
That or it's glandular.
I have a glandular problem.
I don't have anything else from PlayStation Experience, guys.
I want to go on with the Street Fighter. Oh, no, we can't. Oh, you know what? Let's bring it in now, actually. You know what? We have an Indus question. From.
Let me get.
From Squeaky Topical. Chair.
Open, let's not, open, let's the, not... open the saloon doors to get to yeah, your Indus questions.
Brought to you by Red Dead Redemption.
Nice.
Because it's topical right now, the fact that we're talking about it. So, Nabashin, I think we might have talked about this briefly last week. He says, thoughts on the double standards with Street Fighter and Tomb Raider exclusivity?
I'm not sure there's a double standard, per se.
Oh, yes, there is. You have not seen Twitter and people in the video.
Oh, Chris, there is. You just don't know.
I guess not from my perspective because I haven't really been paying attention to that. I mean, I think that the only issue that I had with the Tomb Raider announcement was the wording. You know, if they skewed it. They made it confusing. And, you know, they just came out straight up and said, PS4 is the only console Street Fighter V is going to be on. I mean, you don't get much more straightforward than that.
And they also
threw
in the...
I don't think that's what he's going
They did throw in the cross-play with PC,
which is really cool.
That's neither here nor there what Navishan's thing is. Navishan, I think he's trying to get at is when Tomb Raider was announced, whether it was full-on exclusive or not, people lost their fucking shit and said... Yeah. This is not good for gamers. It's a third-party game that was on everything. Why is this happening? Fuck Microsoft. Why would they do? Like, why would they take away other people's like enjoyment? I saw this firsthand.
Yeah.
Happens with Street Fighter V. Oh, weird. Those same people don't say dick.
Yeah,
oh yeah, it's fucking PS4 exclusive. That's awesome.
Everybody should be on the same page, you know, with both games because they're you know it's not much different outside of the fact that we now know that. I'm not sure we do know that Tomb Raider is a timed exclusive at this point because didn't they say Microsoft is publishing it?
Yeah, because I mean, before they weren't, weird. Now they are. So I don't know. But either way, I'm taking the same fucking stand on both. It sucks for gamers. It's the only thing this benefits are Sony and Microsoft.
Yep.
That is it. I don't even think it benefits Square Enix. Or fucking Capcom, to be honest with you.
No, it doesn't.
Because I think they're both getting
but
fucking
But at the end
run.
Of the day, it just makes it another exclusive.
And all right? I guess
it just makes it another exclusive. So just because Uncharted has always been... We haven't said word one on how unfair it is to gamers that Uncharted is just on one console. How God of War is just on one console.
But that
how Halo
sense.
Is just on one console.
Yeah, but
no,
that's Sony.
It just makes Street Fighter another exclusive. It's regardless of whether it was never an exclusive before, it just makes it another. That's
see,
what
I
it is now.
I don't agree.
I think you're going what Navishan's saying. It's like you're doing the whole, like, it does make it another exclusive, but the difference between Tomb Raider going exclusive and Street Fighter going exclusive versus God of War and Uncharted is Uncharted and God of War are owned
first
by
party.
Sony.
Yeah.
They are first party platforms, which will only ever be on that. People buying a game, whether it's Tomb Raider series or Street Fighter, have played every single generation since its inception.
But look,
as a multi-platform,
things become things. That's just the way of the world.
That doesn't
some
make
things,
sense.
No, things just become things.
That's just as bad as it is what it is.
that's what it is. I mean, basically, it's what I'm saying. Look, it happened. It's there. I mean, if you want it for one console, I mean,
yes.
I'm going to have both consoles by that time anyway. So if anything becomes exclusive, fuck it. I'll get it.
The thing is,
I don't see it as
what's
bad
week.
For me.
I
like,
I don't care.
I'm going to buy
but
a game.
But what Navishan is, that's not what his point is.
But what's
his point?
Point?
Yeah. His point is, why was it when Tomb Raider was announced as an exclusive for Xbox One, people lost their fucking mind and said, like,
because most of the people that you keep in contact on Twitter and on VG Evo are PlayStation focused.
They're mostly
that's exactly what I think he's going for.
If you go to any Xbox forum and you focus on that, like, people are
going
to be pissed.
Going crazy over the fucking Street Fighter.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more people going crazy.
And it's weird because
people ask me on Twitter, like, what do you think about the Street Fighter V thing? I'm like, I don't care. I have a PS4. I'm going
to
play it.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but if you go to most gaming, like Street Fighter fighting game competitions, aren't most of them played on the Xbox 360?
Yeah.
They were.
You see a lot of them. They were.
Yeah.
So that's going to change that right there. Because
I think a lot of people don't understand,
like, when you go to these Street Fighter competitions, especially the local regional ones that kind of, that allow people to win and move on to, like, you know, a big Vegas competition or one of the bigger, more, you know, I guess, quote unquote televised or.
But we're not talking about whether how big that
but
is.
Those
I don't know
actually,
where you're going
you know,
here.
Those people, you know, usually don't, stuff's donated. Like, you donate your Xbox or you donate a TV and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that actually changes to where if people want to be a part of that and take part in that, you know, those competitions, not just play on a recreational level, if they are used to having an Xbox 360, yeah, they have to move on and get a PlayStation 4 now because that's the only way they can play it, or bring their tower, bring their PC and play it that way.
Yeah, but you know, what does this have to do with here or there, though? That's. Yeah, we're not arguing why it was exclusive or why they're going for it.
Oh no, I know why.
It was the
it's public called it's called money, baby.
Oh yeah, well, you know what? I felt a lot better when I heard that Sony might have had a hand in making Street Fighter V possible.
That's what I was gonna
say. The same thing with Bayonetta.
Right.
I was pissed when Bayonetta was only gonna be on Wii U.
But Bayonetta would have never come out if it wasn't
exactly.
for Nintendo. Yeah,
exactly.
And that's what it seems like is happening here with Street Fighter V.
Yes, because Capcom is fucking ass. Like,
yeah.
They are in
from
the
what
dumps.
I hear,
they are not doing well.
From what I have seen, apparently this is like the biggest budget they have ever had for a Street Fighter game. By
and
far.
That says a lot for Sony, because Sony's not doing well either. Outside of their PlayStation division, they are way in the fucking red.
They're
like,
to the point where Sony's
good.
Like, okay, we're focusing on
PlayStation.
They're
thinking of cutting
now.
Off everything. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, we're just going to do PlayStation now. Okay, well. You know.
Yeah, the fact that they pony that money and like, If that's what it took to make Street Fighter 5 be a thing, I'm happy. Because I have a PS4. I'm going to play Street Fighter 4 or 5. What I'm not happy is my fucking Mad Catz TE stick for fucking Killer Instinct Limited Edition is not only just a Limited Edition TE stick for Killer Instinct.
It is just
a Killer Instinct stick. That's all it is right now.
Okay. That's why you're pissed. You just, you know, Jeff, you shouldn't have said anything, but you just opened up the floodgates right there.
No, I can just dual mod.
You have a wasted stick now. That's what it is. I get it now. It makes sense.
It's literally like, this is the Killer Instinct stick. It's like, no, it's not a limited edition Killer. No, it is the Killer Instinct stick. That's what it is.
I'm actually mad that my beautiful Yuna stick is worthless when.
No, you get the same thing I'm gonna get. The Kronos Max thing. It makes everything work. That's
okay,
what I'm gonna
get. Okay, so it makes everything work. Okay, cool.
It makes it a dual mod without having to be smart and do shit with your stick. That makes sense. It's a little thing.
I'm not gonna
Jason,
go there.
Jason brought it to, you can go there. your wife did. Oh!
Jeff is running shit tonight!
But no, like, I'm just gonna get that Kronos Max thing and just, yeah. I'm fine. And then Street Fighter Ultra, which I thought was going to go on everything, that's also exclusive too to PS4, which is kind of surprising.
Oh, the
which also doesn't come out until next year. Like, Capcom, really? We're going to release Ultra Street Fighter 4 next year.
I'm actually glad that I haven't bought that yet. So I'll just get it on PS4. It'll have all the shit with it. So,
yeah, may as well.
If I get it.
It's going to come with everything.
Yeah, if I get it.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was pretty big. I think Sony should have ended with that, regardless of whether it leaked or not.
That was easily the biggest announcement of the weekend, I would say.
That was pretty big.
What if Mortal Kombat got super pissed off at Xbox about the no other fighting game clause, and just Sony was like, you know what, fuck it, Mortal Kombat exclusive. That would be awesome.
So Sony has the two largest fighting game franchises? Is that what would happen?
That would be hilarious.
That would be kind of epic.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But that wouldn't happen.
No, I don't think that would happen either.
I thought that might have been a reason why Capcom was kind of like, but then until I found out that the whole Sony might have been funding a lot of it, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Because, like, I mean, Ed Boon said he wanted to have Ultimate, what's it called? fucking, come on, guys.
Ultimate Mortal Kombat?
Nope. The DC Universe one.
Oh, sure. Ultimate Injustice.
Yeah. Ultimate Injustice. He's like, I wanted to bring that on Xbox One, but unfortunately we couldn't do it because of blah, 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 blah. But they're coming out with Mortal Kombat, so obviously they're Xbox or Microsoft after the 1 year is like, yeah, you can release, like, whatever. So. Eh. Whatever. I'm gonna play Street Fighter V. So,
that's right.
Regardless.
Yeah.
But right. It does suck for,
it's gonna be fun.
It does suck for non-Sony people.
That might have just been like, hey, I'm just gonna Xbox because I want to play whatever and, you know, Street Fighter.
I guess it's time to bring my old Blanca out of retirement.
All right.
Was he ever actually in a career mode?
Gotta spam me some lightning. What up?
Word. What else? Was there anything else in there?
That's all I am, was interested
dude,
in.
You're the one drinking the moonshine. I'm the one feeling like, holy shit.
Woo! All right, should we move on then?
Yep. Yeah, why not?
Anything else on PSX?
PlayStation. Oh, yeah, they announced that the Vita is not dead by showing us a whole bunch of ports. that was pretty much everything else that I can remember.
Hey,
I mean,
we still love the Vita so much that,
that
we are porting things to
we're
it.
We're porting everything to here. I love it because you know what, Robbie? I love you, Robbie, but he tried posing shit like, see, the Vita isn't dead. And I was like, we've had this conversation a million times, but what's going to convince someone to buy a Vita to play games they can't play anywhere else?
Tearaway 2. Oh, no, that's just on PS4. Never
mind. That's right.
Yeah, it's on both now.
It's on both.
Or it's on PS4, exactly.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you have to want to have a Vita. I mean, you just have to want that machine.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
There's no game that might sound stupid to buy it. So
like it was like, well, obviously you're not going to buy something that you don't want. But I think Chris said like you need to want the cross buy stuff, the cross play shit.
You need to
like,
want to have that hardware in your hand. I mean, you have to want to play those games in a portable fashion,
dude.
Like
I got
me.
It.
I mean, that's
Look,
where I'm at.
I can make the Vita a best-selling handheld console right
here
now.
We go.
I can do it right now.
Final Fantasy VII Remake. Bam!
Three things. All right.
Drop
one,
the mic.
get one or two like really good RPGs. One or two really good RPGs.
They already
RPGs.
Have a bunch, but okay.
No, we'll like really good original RPGs.
Like original,
like
brand,
get a Fire Emblem
brand
on there.
New shit.
Like,
okay.
Get something good. Get I mean,
Fire Emblem
one.
Ain't gonna happen because that's Nintendo.
I know,
but okay.
I know, but like get a Fire Emblem like game, something really, really good. Okay,
Final Fantasy Tactics,
Valkyria
gotcha,
Chronicles
okay.
4.
If you make PlayStation Now a monthly subscription and have like and put PS2 on there. Just put PS2 on there. Put it on the Vita. Like, PlayStation Now, get like $9.99 or like $14.99 a month, and just put all the PS2 titles on there.
So you're still talking ports. You're still talking ports, okay.
And then make every single PlayStation 1 game that is available.
Free.
On there. Just put it on there.
So they pretty much have. So
PS1, not everyone. There's a lot of titles missing.
So you're still talking about ports.
No, PS1, PS2, make it a fucking old school, you know, guy.
If you put PS Now, then you're limiting people to have Wi-Fi.
They're in a situation where if they take that Vita and, look, we're getting all of our modern games with the PS4. We know we're going to get that. But if you make, look, the Wii U has a great library of modern games, but people do love that virtual console. They love those retro mm-hmm. games on the virtual console. Make your Vita that version. Make it a non-stop, you know, shop to your drop PlayStation store of every single classic game that you could ever want on the Vita. PS1, PS2 included. All right.
PSLA
and have and have one or two RPGs on there and you've got a best-selling handheld console on you have it.
In Japan.
No. And that's no, all you need is Monster Hunter.
That's
all you
also
need...
called the PSP in North America, which it sold so much because
you
didn't pirate it.
That's just what they need to do. It's right there. It's clear. It's right there. But they're so focused on having a limited amount of title. I mean, the PlayStation Now is not going to do anything the way they're at right now.
No, because it's
too expensive.
Wi-Fi.
No one wants to rent a la carte. No one wants to do that. Subscription services are where they're at. You can ask HBO. HBO is about to go, you know, streaming, you know, one low price streaming. Once Game of Thrones starts, HBO is opening up their streaming service where you don't need a cable subscriber. It's happening. Everybody's doing it that way. One price per month.
You can't do that.
All the games you want. You can totally do it.
No, because
you
it's,
can totally
have you
do
tried
it.
PlayStation Now, by the way?
No, I did. I was in a beta and everything. It's horrible.
Exactly.
Okay. So, like, okay.
If you're going to limit, that's your access to these backlog catalogs.
Okay. No, no, wait. Four things. All the things that I said. All the things that I said previously and make PlayStation Now work. That's it. You've got an award-winning console. Got okay. it. Congratulations, yeah, Sony.
Nailed it.
Congratulations, you're millionaires.
All right. I think it's time to move on.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that was good.
On that note. On that note. Oh, God.
Oh, we're having a good time. We're having a real good time.
Are we ready to wrap this up?
I think so.
Okay. I'm going to check in his questions one more time.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So now we actually did new releases on the last show, but I'm going to do them again real quick because there's only a few.
Okay.
So next week.
Big Pete.
So we're getting Loadout for PS4, Guilty Pete. Gear Xrd, for PS4 and PS3, Elite Dangerous.
Pete's of Rage.
For PC.
Pete's Dragon.
Kalimba for Xbox One, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes for PC, Meme Run for Wii U, and Block Drop Cross Twisted Fusion for Wii U. So that is your new release list. Pick of the week. It's Guilty Gear. That's the correct answer. There you go.
Peter Moore. Love it.
I miss Pete.
Man. I do. Pete, bring it back, man. Bring it back. Well, I mean, what do you gotta do? It's Australia. It's Australia. You can't play video games. Like, you're not allowed
anymore.
Not
married stuff.
You'd be
like,
broke if you wanted to play video games.
You can't. They don't allow video games, period, anymore. It's official. Like, you can't play anything.
Everything gets censored.
Everything. Like, not even censored. It's not allowed anymore. It's basically, you know, martial law. Military's taken over. You can't do anything except, hunt kangaroos, maybe? I don't know. What do they do in Australia? Drink beer?
They hunt kangaroos.
Drink fosters?
And wallabies.
And aborigines? Oh, man.
I can feel Pete raging right now. Pete's of rage right now. All right. Anything before we wrap up?
Shrimp on a Barbie. Cook it.
What? The question of the week that we had for next week's show is, why is it that some of us are okay with buying special editions or limited editions of games, and then we get annoyed with paid DLC? So that's kind of the gist of it. There's a story behind the topic, and we'll get to that next week. If you want to answer the question, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com.
Numbers, can't hear
send
Chris.
Send us a voicemail.
Do it 706-760-4337.
It's sleep, but it's not.
Check us out on Twitter. We are in
email at email in the masters of Canada.
Check us out individually as well.
Email at interactivedistractions.com. You can find us on Zune Marketplace.
There's a phone
that's
number.
A thing.
It's 555.
You can hit us on Twitter at IndusQuestions.
Yeah,
or,
that's there.
Or individually at IndusChris at the real Travis Bomb.
No, it's the Travis Bomb.
Oh, the Travis Bomb.
Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-S.
That's Geoff. I already did that. I was a little early, but it's okay.
Zune Marketplace.
Fuck, this is hard.
It is
finally back.
Oh, there he is.
No,
okay,
we're
we were doing
that,
the job
good.
For you.
I was doing it at the same time.
Okay.
So that'll be
we did it perfectly.
In
it was
post,
perfect.
Just mute your shit. We did it perfectly. It was in order.
Yeah, in
it was,
order.
It was
in repeat
it was,
shit.
I mean,
we were not incompetent whatsoever.
Chris, you would be proud. You would be proud.
Actually, I love it when you guys try and do the wrap up. It actually is entertaining as hell. So that's why. So there was. The last time that happened was when it was Jeff and Jason.
Jason and I.
And,
yeah.
And I put like, in the time notes, like when they were trying to wrap up the show, I put end of show flailing. And then,
love it.
And then I put a time mark that says Chris returns, real end of show.
Did you keep ours in there?
Yeah,
I was really mad
there.
At you.
No, everything
was
still
like,
in
you
there.
You better keep
no,
it.
No, no, no. Okay, I didn't edit any of that shit out, dude. I left it all in. It was awesome.
Chris, I'm going to be honest with you. I think we did it a little bit better.
Okay.
I'm just going to be real.
I believe
Jeff,
you.
That's subjective.
I think you would agree.
That's
I believe
subjective.
You. Where did you leave
but,
off? Did you get the number
Zune
right?
Market, Zune
Look, Jeff,
Marketplace.
Jeff, let's finish it up, man. Fuck this guy. Let's finish
all right,
it
so
up.
You so you can reach us at phone number if you want to leave us a voicemail.
There's a number there. We've already got that. We've already did that part. Leave a review. We'd appreciate it. 5 stars.
Yeah.
If you're great, if you leave 1 star, you're an asshole.
Something like that. Yeah, Chris, help us out here with that.
Chris,
number,
do you have
right?
anything else, Dad?
I don't know what you're talking about. Not. I don't know what you're talking about. You said you guys are doing a better job, so I'm just.
Oh, no, we're knocking out of the park. We just wanted to be sure.
No, we're nailing it. We just want to make sure with you.
Was there anything like new?
So did you mention Gmail, new? Facebook, Twitch, and.
We mentioned okay, all that. Twitchbook.
And definitely. Twitchbook? Twitchbook.
Yeah, Twitchbook.
We totally mentioned
Interactive Distractions. Search and you'll find us. And then VG Evo.
That's common sense, dude.
But we didn't mention that because we haven't put anything on Twitchbook since like forever. So we didn't put anything there. Yet.
Hey, I did Extra Life like last month.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Wait,
that's month? Yeah, you talked about that like a month ago.
Yeah, it was last month. It was November, wasn't it?
We need to officially recruit Amy Kirkman, Vitamin Amy on the Twitters. Just recruit her for fucking Indus so he can become relevant during Extra Life. That girl is amazing on Extra Life. I mean, yeah. I gotta give her props. She is absolutely fucking amazing.
She raises
the amount of
thousands
money.
All by herself.
She does such a great job. So props for her. I haven't had a chance to like just tell her that, but she's amazing. Like, I'm so, like, it's so cool to see that.
Agreed.
Oh man.
All right. Are we good?
Yeah,
I think we're good.
I'm gonna have to listen to that because I was some point where we're gonna be talking over each other, so I'll have to
just
figure out what to do there.
Mute your hogwash.
I'll mute mine and I'll let you guys do your thing.
We have it. We have it.
If people want to hear like know where to write stuff, they can look at the other apps.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review.
I already did that.
Well,
yeah.
I'm doing it at the proper end of the show, Travis. So fuck you. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I am Travis.
Moonshine.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace. Take it easy.